as gunshots echo across the wind-swept, snow-covered reaches of the wild Northwest, Quaker popped wheat and Quaker popped rice, the breakfast cereal shot from guns, present Sergeant Preston of the Yukon. It's Yukon King, swiftest and strongest lead dog of the Northwest, blazing the trail for Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police in his relentless pursuit of lawbreakers.
On King! On, you husky!
Gold! Gold discovered in the Yukon. A stampede to the Klondike in the wild race for riches. Back to the days of the gold rush. With Quaker popped wheat and Quaker popped rice, bringing you the adventures of Sergeant Preston and his wonder dog, Yukon King, as they meet the challenge of the Yukon.
There's no one that can make a better cereal than Quaker popped wheat. It's neat. And when you hear that shooting, you're durn tootin'. The Quaker makes the ones shot from guns.
You're durn tootin'. The king-size choice premium grains of both Quaker popped wheat and Quaker popped rice are shot from guns. So they're bigger and better tasting. A breakfast treat that can't be beat. Spring had come to the Yukon Territory. Once more, the great Yukon River was open to travel, and the steamer packet Northern Belle moved majestically toward Dawson. A 10-year-old boy stood near the deck rail, watching in wide-eyed silence as the shores of this strange new country slid past in an ever-changing panorama. Denny Pickens was traveling to the far north alone, under the care of the ship's captain. The boy turned when he heard steps approaching, and he smiled as he saw the captain.
Well, lad, we've been talking in a short time. You must be very excited about coming away up here to this new territory to live, aren't you?
Yes, sir. I'm sure I'll like it.
Of course you will, son. And you'll soon be with your aunt in your new home.
But do you know my Aunt Flora, Captain?
Of course. The whole crew knows Flora Coates, seeing as how she owns the biggest cafe in Dawson.
Do you think Aunt Flora will meet me when the boat docks?
Well, no, I can't tell about that, son. But don't worry. We'll see that you get to your aunt's place all right. I'll live. I'll be back in a little while.
A small crowd of curious onlookers on the dock watched as the boat landed. Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police, with his great dog Yukon King, also stood watching as the passengers disembarked.
Yeah, fine.
Hello, Sergeant. Glad to see you again.
How are you, Captain Dre? This your boy?
This is Denny Pickens, Sergeant. He's come to live in Dawson with his aunt.
Oh, glad to meet you, Denny.
How do you do?
Oh, by the way, Sergeant, have you seen Flora Coates on the dock?
No, I haven't. Why?
She's Denny's aunt. I thought she'd be here to meet him.
Oh, I see. Did Flora expect the boy?
So I understand. I was hoping she'd be here. I have a few things to attend to aboard before I go ashore.
Well, I'll be glad to take Denny too, Flora, if it'll help you, Captain.
Well, thanks a lot, Sergeant. I'd appreciate it.
Come along, Denny. Let's go, King.
Flora Coates was a rough, outspoken woman. Her husband had died and left her the cafe in Dawson, and she ran it with an iron hand. She was respected in town for her business ability, but no one thought of Flora as a kindly woman. She asked no favors, granted none. She was at her desk in the back office when there was a knock on the door.
Come in. Well, Sergeant Preston, who's the boy with you?
Your nephew, Denny, of course. He just arrived on the boat.
My nephew? What nephew? I don't... Oh, yeah.
I'm Denny Pickens from Seattle. Dad said just before he died that you wanted me to come and live with you, Aunt Flora.
So you're my brother Jake's boy, huh?
Yes, ma'am. You do want me to live with you, don't you?
Why, of course she does, Denny. Your aunt's just surprised, that's all.
Yeah, I'm surprised, all right. Look, Denny, go up those stairs over there to the upper floor. The second door along the hall is where you'll stay. Oh, You'd better take your carpet bag and go get settled right now.
Yes, Aunt Flora.
Use your bag, Denny. I'll see you again, son. Goodbye for a while.
Thank you, Sergeant. Bye, King.
The boy, disappointed by his reception, walked slowly to the top of the stairs. And then, realizing he'd left his cap in the office, he started down again. But voices from below caused him to stop and listen.
From the way you received the boy, Flora, I got the impression you not only didn't expect him, but that you don't want him here.
Well, Sergeant, you might say that's about the way it is. Some months ago, I received a letter from my brother in Seattle. I haven't seen Jake in years. Well, in the letter, he said he was quite sick and that if anything happened to him, he wanted me to take his boy, Denny.
I see.
I didn't even answer the letter and forgot all about it. Then you walked in with the boy.
Well, you are his aunt, and he's here. So there's not much to be done about it.
As I see it, he'll just be in the way around here, Sergeant. Of course, I am his only living relative,
but... In that case, I hope you'll try to make a home for him.
Oh, give it a try, if that's what you mean. But I don't think it'll work out.
If it doesn't, what then?
I'll decide that when the time comes.
Do you mind if King and I drop in to see Denny once in a while?
Of course not. Come to see him whenever you like, Sergeant. Later, if I decide keeping him here isn't going to work out, I'll talk to you and let you know what I'm going to do about it.
All right, Flora. I'll be back to see Denny tomorrow. Come along.
I'll walk out front with you, Sergeant.
Denny Pickens, stunned by what he had overheard, sat several moments longer on the stairs after Flora and Preston had left the office below. And then he slowly went to the room that had been assigned to him. The boy sat on the edge of the bed, glanced over the well-kept room.
She didn't expect me. She doesn't want me.
As he sat alone in the room, Denny's thoughts raced back to the day he stood beside the bed on which his father lay dying. He had listened with mixed feelings as his father spoke.
Denny, son, I want you to be a brave lad. I'll be leaving you soon, but you mustn't be sad about it, promise.
Yes, Dad, I promise, but I don't want you to leave me, Dad. I don't.
No, son. Remember what you just promised.
All right, Dad.
I've made arrangements for you to go to a fine new country, Denny. You'll live and grow up with your Aunt Flora. She'll be waiting for you.
Maybe she isn't going to like me.
Of course she will, son. She's kind of rough in her ways, but I'm sure she'll be kind to you. I want you to try hard, Denny. Be a good boy and do what you're told.
And as the boy sat alone now in a strange room and in a new country, he fought back a lump in his throat at the thought of his father.
I'll try to make her like me for Dad's sake, like I promised.
The flat which Flora Coates used as her living quarters over the cafe was well appointed, and Denny was well cared for during the next 2 weeks. He saw little of Flora except at mealtime, when they ate in silence. But Sergeant Preston and King had stopped to call almost every day. Denny and King became great friends, and at times went out behind the building to romp and play together. One afternoon, when Denny and King were playing just outside of Flora's office, the back door opened, and Flora, a scowl on her face, called out,
Denny! Denny!
Yes, Aunt Flora?
I told you before not to make all that racket out here. Now, why don't you do what you're told?
I'm sorry, Aunt Flora. I didn't know we were bothering you.
How do you expect me to work at my accounts with so much noise coming through the open window?
What's the matter, Denny? Having trouble?
Hello, Sergeant. Denny was out here making so much racket playing with your dog, I couldn't hear myself think.
Well, I'm sure he didn't realize he was so noisy. I've come to take King home anyway, so you'll not be disturbed from now on. I'll see you again, Denny. Come along, King.
Now, Denny Pickens, just sit down on the bench under the office window and be quiet.
Yes, ma'am.
Boy is just more than I can handle, and no mistake. Come in. Well, Jack Darby. How you doing, Jack? Come on in, sit down.
Hey, Flora. Just come in from 40 Mile.
Red and the Klondike Nugget that you struck at Ridge.
Yep, I sure did. I'm heading for the States now.
Leaving the Yukon for good?
Uh-huh. Going to settle in Seattle, where I was born and raised. Got a son back there, you know.
No, I didn't know. Is he married?
Nope, he's only 12. I had to put him in a home when I came up here 2 years ago, a boy's home. Well, there's nothing fancy about the place, but it only cost me $25 a month, and I knew he was being taken care of and learned the trade. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, I'll take him back to live with me.
A boy's home, huh? You've given me an idea, Jack.
Idea? About what?
My dead brother's 10-year-old boy has been staying here with me a couple of weeks. But I'd like to get him settled in some place like you just mentioned. Now, I'll pay you $100 if you'll take him along with you when the boat leaves day after tomorrow and get him settled in that boy's home in Seattle for me. Of course, I'll send the $25 each month for his keep.
Well, there's no reason why I couldn't do that for you, Flora. Have him ready to leave when it's time to go, and I'll look after him. Get him settled like you want.
Good, good. That's a load off my mind. I'll bring the boy aboard the boat day after tomorrow and turn him over to your keeping for the trip to that boy's home.
We'll continue our adventure in just a moment. For a mouth-watering breakfast treat tomorrow, pour yourself a big bowl full of crisp, delicious Quaker-popped wheat or Quaker-popped rice, and topped with milk or thick yellow cream and sliced bananas. And right now, get paper and pencil ready. Don't miss a terrific offer Wheat and Rice Shot from Guns are making to friends of Sergeant Preston for the last time this week. Hear full details in just a few minutes. Keep listening. Now to continue. On the spur of the moment, Flora Coates decided to send the boy Denny to Seattle to be placed in the boy's home there. Denny, obediently sitting on the bench outside under the open window, had heard the decision. The boy, crushed and heartsick, waited until Flora left her office, and then he quickly entered and went up to his room. Later, at the supper table, Flora noticed Denny's big eyes staring at her. She noticed the sadness in them and felt uncomfortable because of the decision she had made. At the end of the meal, she stood up.
Well, I think you better get to bed early and get a good rest, Denny. And tomorrow, you and I are going to have a long talk.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, go get ready for bed. I have some business to attend to down in the cafe. Good night.
Meantime, at a table in the cafe, two men were talking in low voices.
Yeah, this place takes some plenty of cash, Sam.
Yeah, reckon it does at that.
Yeah, I've been coming here all week. Kept my eyes open.
Well?
That safe in the back office ought to be easy to open.
Sure. Reckon so.
Tonight'll be a good time to try it.
All right with me, Blinky.
Good. It's settled in. We'll have the horses behind the cafe waiting. Midnight, we'll rob that safe.
Denny, miserable and unhappy over what he learned was in store for him, had gone to his room and lay on the bed sobbing. Finally, he fell asleep. And when he awoke several hours later, it was dark. He was still fully dressed and had decided upon a course of action. He went to the head of the stairs that led down into the back office and listened a few moments. Then, sure that his aunt was out front in the cafe, he quietly went down. A lamp still burned on Flora's knee-hole desk. Then he sat down at the desk and laboriously wrote a crude note. Just as he finished, he heard someone at the back window. The shade was drawn. Then he quickly put the note into his pocket and hid under the desk. For a few moments, the boy crouched in the small space, scarcely daring to breathe. Then he heard the window open and someone drop inside.
All right, come on, Sam. The woman who owns this place is up front in the cafe.
Yeah, this ought to be easy. There's a safe over there.
One of those new types. That'd be harder than I thought, Sam.
Hey, someone coming. All right, get over by that door to the cafe, quick.
Hello?
All right, man.
Be quiet and don't move.
Hey, what's the meaning of this?
This gun in your back says you're going to open that safe for us and fast.
A hold up.
Yeah, a hold up. And there might be a killing if you don't be careful.
I'll open the safe for you.
Clean it out, Sam, while I keep her covered.
Right.
You aren't going to get far, you thieving polecats. Why, sooner as the Mounties hear of this...
Keep quiet, I said. What are we going to do with her? Tire and leave her here?
No, somebody might find her too soon. Gag and tire her up. There are plenty of horses behind the cafe. Put her in one of them and take her with us.
I don't get it.
Everybody will think she's going to bed. She won't be missed until tomorrow. By that time, we'll be safe. The Mounties can't pick up our trail from tracks outside.
What about her, though?
In an hour or so, we'll reach that shack we've used to hide in before. We'll leave her tied there, burn it down, and be on our way. Nobody will know whatever happened to her. Now, let's tie and gag her. Come on, hurry.
Quickly, the two crooks tied and gagged Flora, then took her out the back door. Denny, hiding under the desk, trembled with fright. He made no sound until he heard them ride away.
I have to get Sergeant Preston.
A short time later, the frightened boy was in headquarters telling Sergeant Preston what had happened. When he finished, Preston asked,
Denny, what were you doing in the office?
Well, I was writing a note. This note. I was going to run away.
Oh, may I have the note?
Yes, sir.
I'll keep this for now, Denny. I want you to promise to stay right here till I come back.
All right, Sergeant. Please don't hurt Aunt Flora. She's been good to me, and even if she doesn't
don't
like
worry,
me...
Don't worry, Denny. I'll find your aunt and bring her back. Now, you stay right here.
Yes, sir.
Come along, King. We have to work fast.
Sergeant Preston hurriedly left his headquarters and saddled his horse, Blackie. He rode first to the back door of the cafe and entered Flora's office to check on Denny's story. He found the safe door standing open and the safe empty.
Back door unlocked, safe open and empty, and the window catch forced. Denny told the truth. I'll find something of Flora's.
On a wooden hat rack in the corner, he found a light coat belonging to Flora. He held it out to his dog, King.
Get the scent, King. Find her. All right, boy, they took her out this way. Find the trail, King.
Ready, fella. Get up, Blackie.
Though it was after midnight, the far north twilight of spring cast a weird glow over the landscape as the Mountie followed the intelligent dog out of town and along the river trail. The two crooks, who had close to half an hour's start, didn't think for a moment that Preston, moving at a faster pace than they, was already on their trail.
Look, there's the shack just ahead on the left.
I'll be glad to get her off our hands.
Yeah, so will I.
Come on.
Come on, get move it. On, boy.
Oh, steady there.
Help me lift her off her horse.
Right. Now, go on. Your feet aren't tied. Go into the shack. I light the lamp.
Sit down there, you. Now I'll tie you to the chair.
This old place will burn like tinder.
Yeah, sure will. Before we start the fire and leave, I'll make some coffee, Sam. I left some here last time we stopped.
That suits me.
Meantime, King had no difficulty in following Flora's trail. Preston guided his horse behind the great husky.
Easy, Blackie. Come on, boy. Quiet, King. Quiet, fella. Come on, Blackie.
In the shack, Sam and his partner had finished their coffee.
Well, time for us to leave, Sam.
No, wait. Listen to me.
Go on.
Just leave me here tied. By the time anyone finds me, you'll be plenty far away.
Now, stop yapping. All we have to do, Sam, is to crash the oil lamp against the wall. Spreading oil will do the rest.
No.
We'll stand near the door and then throw it. I'll get it now.
Right, spoil you.
Hey, Amani.
Got him.
Hold it.
Preston's bullets had wounded both crooks, but Blinky, who had fallen to the floor with a leg wound, again started to raise his gun. King had seen the crook's intention and moved in fast.
Now, get him away.
Come, King, watch him, fella. I'll take their guns.
Sergeant, they were just about to set fire to the shack and burn me alive. I don't know how you got here so
You have
quickly.
Your nephew, Denny, to thank, Flora.
Denny? Oh, I don't get it. How did he
I'll
know?
I'll tell you on the way back. Right now, I'll cut you loose. There. Now, hold one of these guns while they bandage their wounds.
All right.
And we'll start back to town. I arrest you men in the name of the Crown for robbery and attempted murder.
On the way back to town, Preston told Flora how Denny had saved her life, and she was greatly affected. After the crooks had been jailed, Sergeant Preston, with King and Flora Coates, went to the Mountie headquarters, where Denny was still waiting.
Look, he's sleeping.
Bless his heart.
Here's the note he went to your desk to print, Flora. Read it.
Dear Aunt Flora, I was sitting under the window, heard what you said to that man. I like you a lot. I'm sorry you don't like me. But I don't want to go to that home, so I'm going away. I'm sorry I was noisy. Goodbye, your nephew Denny. Sergeant, I've been a doggone tough-hearted fool, that's what.
I agree with you. But you'd better awaken Denny and tell him, Flora.
Yes, of course. Denny. Denny boy, wake up.
Aunt Flora! Oh, golly! Then they didn't kill you. The sergeant and King did save you.
Yes, Denny, but... Well, you really saved my life. Why, if it hadn't been for you, I'd be a goner. You know, you have spunk, youngster. And you're smart, too.
I tried, Aunt Flora. Honest. Just like I promised Dad.
Tried what, boy?
To make you like me. And to do what I was told and all... I couldn't help having fun and making some noise, and now you're going to send me away. I don't want to go to a home.
Denny boy, like I told the sergeant just now, I've been a fool. Why, you're not going away ever, Denny. You know, you're going to stay with your tough old Aunt Flora and help me to find out the worthwhile things in life.
Golly! Do you really mean it, Aunt Flora?
Of course I mean it, boy. And tomorrow, if the sergeant is willing, I'd like him to bring King over to play with you all day. Right outside my office window where I can watch you and hear you making all the noise you want to. And by Jiminy, if anybody complains about the racket, why, you just leave him to your Aunt Flora.
Oh, golly.
Nobody's ever going to complain about somebody I like so much, Denny.
Then you do like me. You do want me.
Why, bless your heart. I didn't know how much I do like you till this minute.
Oh, Aunt Flora. Look, even King knows I'm happy now.
Yes, and I know that your Aunt Flora's happy too, Denny. And I'm happy for both of you. This is one time I'm especially glad to say this case is closed.
Sergeant Preston will return in just a moment with a word about our next exciting adventure. Can you tell us, Sergeant Preston, why the totem poles up in the Northwest had such strange carvings of birds, animals, and mysterious creatures on them?
Yes, indeed, Jay. The ancestors of the Northwest Indians wanted to record the stories of their tribes and their adventures.
And it's amazing that the only tools they had to do that fancy carving with were whale bone, beaver teeth, and sharp stones.
Well, you can understand why people travel thousands of miles to see these totem poles, which are found only in the Northwest.
So, get ready, fellas and girls. Get set for a wonderful offer.
Yes, get every word. Because this is one of the last times you'll hear about it.
If you hurry, you can get a whole collection of 5 different miniature totem poles offered by swell-tasting Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice.
Authentic scale model totem poles are being offered for one of the last times to friends of Sergeant Preston.
And listen to the 5 thrilling totem poles you get.
1, the famous Thunderbird, God of Weather.
2, the Fight for the Land Otters.
3, the weird burial pole with the coffin-like box at the top.
4, the killer whale that tells the fascinating story of a whale-hunting tribe.
5, the sun and raven, famous because the raven is the greatest hero and mythical god of the Northwest.
Think of it. A complete collection of scale model totem poles, 4 inches high, made of pressed wood and hand-painted in beautiful bright colors.
Everyone is different. Everyone is copied from real, authentic totem poles that you would see today in the Indian villages up in the Great Northwest.
Oh, what fun you can have building your own Indian villages around them.
And taking them to school when you study Indian life.
But you must hurry to get yours. Now, here's how easy it is.
First, get one of the special new packages of delicious Quaker Puffed Wheat or Quaker Puffed Rice now at grocers.
These packages tell all about the exciting totem poles. And they have a special handy order blank with a list of the 5 different totem poles right on it.
You just check the totem poles you want. And for every one you check, send 25 cents.
Now, if you want the whole collection, you send only $1.
But whether you want one or all of them, you only have to send one box top from Quaker Puffed Wheat or Quaker Puffed Rice.
Remember to send 25 cents for each totem pole you want, or $1 for the whole collection.
Send to Totem Poles, Box L, Chicago 77, Illinois.
And here's something else you get. With your order, you get a little booklet that tells the fascinating history and story of each totem pole.
What's more, if these aren't the most exciting scale model totem poles you ever saw, you get your money back.
Now listen, this special radio offer ends this week. There's no time to lose.
Act at once, tonight. Get the special new packages of delicious Quaker Puffed Wheat or Rice.
The box top tells you just what to do for any totem pole you want.
Hurry, hurry, hurry. Send right away, tonight, to Totem Poles, Box L, Chicago 77, Illinois.
And now, here is Sergeant Preston.
Reporting for duty, Inspector.
You know Ross Brady, Sergeant?
Yes, sir. Constable Downey believes he may have had something to do with the Express Company robbery in Grand Ledge.
He's dead.
Murdered, Inspector?
Yes, his body's just been found down on the waterfront. He was last seen in the company of Bart Conway and the other men that we suspect of taking part in the Grand Ledge robbery. They may still be in town. They may have left. My only instructions are, get them.
Yes, sir.
That was the beginning of a reign of terror in Dawson. For Bart Conway was ready to pile murder on murder to escape the penalty for his crimes. And the time came when he realized that Sergeant Preston must die. Don't miss this next exciting adventure. These radio dramas, a feature of Sergeant Preston of the Yukon Incorporated, are created by George W. Trendle, produced by Trendle Campbell Muir Incorporated, directed by Fred Flowerday, and edited by Fran Stryker. The part of Sergeant Preston is played by Paul Sutton. Sergeant Preston of the Yukon is brought to you every Tuesday and Thursday at this same time by Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice. The breakfast cereals shot from guns.
Hello, folks. This is your friend, Aunt Jemima. Would you like something special for supper during Lent? Well, how about golden fluffy pancakes? Aunt Jemima pancakes, served with hot spicy applesauce. Or maybe you like cheese pancakes. Just add 1/2 cup of grated cheese to your Aunt Jemima pancake batter, and then bake. Or you can serve my pancakes with creamed eggs or creamed fish. Yes, Aunt Jemima pancakes are scrumptious for lunch or supper, as well as breakfast. They are extra digestible, too, because Aunt Jemima pancake mix is now fluff whipped for extra lightness. So why don't you serve folks stacks of Aunt Jemima pancakes, lightest pancakes anyone can bake. Thank you, folks.
This is J. Michael wishing you goodbye, good luck, and good health from Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice. So long. Listen tomorrow at this same time to The Green Hornet, brought to you by the drink that makes you feel fresh again, delicious Orange Crush. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.